When it comes to discipling your child, where do you begin? I didn't grow up in a home that did that. Where do I begin? How do I do that? We're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of discipling your child to be a follower of Jesus Christ today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and this week we have our special guest, Pastor Terry Scalzitti, Associate Pastor for Adult and Family Ministries at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale. And we've been really talking about this kind of connection that we have. We take our kids to church once a week or even twice a week, and you had a statistic on Monday that you shared how there's 40 hours in a year that the church has an influence on a child's life, and yet the parents have how many?
Parents have over 3,000 hours of influence. That's not at sleep time. That is hours where a parent and a child have together, where a parent can engage a child in a conversation. They have over 3,000 hours of influence, and the church for so long has taken their 40 hours and tried to solve the spiritual issues of a child on their own. And what we're saying here is we're saying we have to learn to partner with parents, and parents have to learn to engage with the church in order to start having spiritual everyday conversations with their child, to see them have an everyday faith when they leave and they go away to school and college, so that their faith is not compartmentalized, but a part of their everyday life.
Here's the challenge with that. They have the opportunity. The parent has the opportunity to do that. The average parent in ongoing conversation talks to their child and listens with the child 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. On the list of influence in a child's life, at least the last research I saw, the parent was number 7.
Wow. Mm.
Television, cyber world, school, friends. I mean, it's horrible. Mm. We have to be very, very intentional about this. And one of the things we have to be intentional about is we've got to decide that I'm going to teach my child about Christ. So, Terry, tell us, first of all, Scalzitti. What is that? I mean, it's Italian. I just have to know.
My wife likes to say it's a nice baked Italian dish.
Oh, okay. I'm done with this. Do the discipling thing. I don't even want to know anymore. No, that was a compliment to him. It was just so corny. Go ahead. Tell us about how to do this.
You know, the other day I was thinking about this. When we talk about having conversations with our children, you ask any parent who has a teenager who's about to leave home, and they're hoping and they're praying that their child makes wise choices when they're on their own. It's the most important thing in their hearts and in their lives. They've been taking all of this time and energy these years and pouring into their kids, and they're just praying that they make wise choices. When you think about the day-to-day conversations, the time in the car, the time around the table, how often do we as parents prepare for those conversations? A lot of times we let them happen naturally. But let me ask you, Bob, when you were younger and you went on a job interview, how long did you prepare for that conversation? How much did you really research and look and think about your responses and have imaginary conversations about what you would say and what the interviewer would say back to you and how you'd respond? We all would take so much time to prepare for those conversations. But as a parent, how often do we really prepare to have a spiritual conversation with our child? Do we know what they're learning at church on Sunday? Do we know who's pouring into them? And what questions should I ask them when I'm in the car so that it can tweak or engage a conversation with a child so that we can have a very, very fruitful time?
And if this is not something that's habitual in your family, you might have something in your mind, because we've even struggled with this in our family. Okay, well, can we make this actually come out naturally, or do we have to kind of formally, okay, guys, this is family talk, and you know, we've been seeing this go around, and it's almost like either or. If you can make it come out naturally, fine. If you have to actually forcefully bring up the topic, you know, in a nice, loving way, bring it up. But it's worth bringing up, especially if there's an issue going on and you want to bring attention to it and say, guys, you know what? This little habit of like the white lies that we have, you know, that's just, let's go to the Bible and read about that.
And I don't want to, yes, I agree 100%. I don't want to save it for the negative situations where we're going to use the Bible as part of the consequence. Mm-hmm. I want it to become our total DNA. And let's just take a family. The three of us are married, and you, Ruthie, have a blending family, which is awesome. I think the first step is the husband and wife both have to agree to this. Now, there are a lot listening. We'll talk about this in a minute. There are a lot listening where only one spouse is a believer. Mm. But in the case of this family, where it's a two-parent home, whether it's a blending family or whatever it is, we have to decide this is important. We want to spend some conversation time, and I think intentional enough for me to bring the Bible to the table, but not just at the breakfast table. I want it to become part of our DNA. So it is intentional. It does have to be thought through. And I am driving home trying to think, okay, where did I see Jesus today? Because if I just ask everybody else, it doesn't go. It doesn't happen. Okay, Dad, what are you doing, Dad? I have to be the one and I have to get jacked about it. And this has to be obviously important to me to have this discussion.
Yeah, one of the practical things, you know, a lot of people ask, well, Terry, how do we do this? How do we have those conversations? What are some things that we can do to really continue to start impressing that everyday faith? I think back a time when I was on vacation in Tennessee and my child, every month I know my wife and I together, we partner together with the church and we know exactly as a preschooler, my son, he memorizes or we work with him to memorize one Bible verse a month. And that's all we expect of him. We work on it constantly. But we were in Tennessee. We were walking into a Walmart because Walmart was the only thing in that city, and it was open 24 hours. And so we're walking into that Walmart, and I have my 2.5-year-old. Connor was 2.5 at that time. And he's walking, holding my hand, and he walks in. And at Walmart, you know, as soon as you walk in, you're going to get a smiling lady waving at you and saying, good morning. We walk in, and the lady looks at Connor and says, good morning. And my son looks back and he waves and says, good morning. Now, for a 2.5-year-old, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's a rock star. I'm very proud of him. He engaged a stranger. He was kind and loving to another person. And I paused that moment because that month his scripture was be kind and loving to each other. So as a dad, we talked about preparing for a conversation. I knew his Bible verse. I knew what he was learning as a 2.5-year-old, and I caught him doing something right. Mm. And so in that moment, I got on my knees, and he probably thought I was the weirdest dad in the world because I made such a big deal out of the fact that he was kind and loving. But here's the reality. When I said, Connor, what's your Bible verse this month? And he said, be kind and loving to each other. And I said, you just did that. You waved to that person. You said good morning. I'm so proud of you. I caught my son doing something right. Mm. Now, you know what the next half hour at Walmart consisted of? My son walking around to every stranger in the place saying, good morning, be kind and loving to each other, Dad, be kind and loving to each other, Dad. But here's what I learned. When you catch a child doing something right, when you prepare as a parent and you connect their good social behavior, their wise choice to a biblical principle, you make the Bible come alive for your kids and they start seeing it as something as an everyday part of their lives as opposed to a building that they go to on Sunday to learn.
Oh, why would we not do that? Why would we cheer over soccer goals more than we would cheer over this? Why would we not stop the universe? Do you know what you just did? You did what's in your verse. You know, whether it's this month's verse or 6 months ago's verse. That's what you did. And I can only imagine Jesus smiling in heaven. This was awesome what you just did. We have got to be the ones that are applauding those wise, your phrase, perfect, those wise decisions. When you've made it an impulse, when it's just naturally what I do because you're planting those verses. We forget the, and this is the wrong word, but I'm going to use it, the magic of planting a verse inside of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the Word of God. This is the fuel for spiritual growth. I cannot let the church be the only one doing this 1 hour, and it's not 1 hour, it's probably 10 minutes a week in that time in there together. Most of them come out and have no clue what they studied in church anyway. It's my job to emphasize it, but it's also my job to have something of us going, a family altar, something.
Yeah, when we think about it, one of my professors one time used this phrase when I was in seminary, and he said, you as a parent need to teach often, and in some cases use words. And there's a lot of other phrases that go like that. But I learned that very strategically because at my house, I have a chair. It sits in the living room. And when I read my devotions in that, I walk up, I get up, I go into that chair and I sit down. And I'll never forget how important that was in the life of my child because my child was growing up. And when Connor got to about 3.5 years old, I'll never forget. I was sitting there. I had my iPad open. I was doing my devotion. And Connor walked up and looked at me and said, Dad, are you reading the Bible? Mm. And I remember in that moment thinking to myself, my actions speak louder than words. Yeah. My child has saw something inside of his dad. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk practically about some of the things that we can do to really impress that faith, I think about Saturday mornings. Here's just a practical tip for some of our parents listening. Saturday mornings, I always say pancakes are for spiritual growth. My wife, she makes amazing blueberry pancakes. My son loves blueberry pancakes. He gets excited about blueberry pancakes. We get around the table and he just cannot wait.
You're getting a little overly excited about blueberry pancakes.
I'm getting hungry right now. Yeah, absolutely. With all of this food. But we sit at the table, and while my wife is cooking, I strategically will go and I will know exactly what my son is going to learn the next day. When he goes to his class, when he hears his teacher, I know the curriculum he's going to be using. And a lot of churches have curriculum online today. And parents, if you just ask your churches, what is the curriculum that you're using? Can I have a copy of it so I can know what my child's learning? And I just look at those verses or I look at the Bible story my son's going to learn, and I sit at the table as dad, and how important it is for dads to sit at the table. And and look at their sons, and I engage in a conversation about what he's going to be learning. My son expects it. In fact, the other day I sat at the table and my son said, "Dad, can you go get the Bible?" Because we sit down and we have a conversation about Scripture. It's making a choice to have amazing conversations with your kids so they know it's a part
you
of their
make
life.
You make him a winner. You make him a winner. He shows up. He's the only kid prepared. He's the only kid prepared to answer questions. You make him a winner when you get him ready ahead of time.
What if then, let's just change the situation around, you're a single mom, or you're a mom that's the only believer out of you and your husband. You say that would,
so let's,
that
do,
would be,
let's do those separately then.
Okay.
Let's do two
so
separate
So let's
ones.
Tackle the single mom first.
I think
then.
The single mom needs to do what she needs to do. She just needs, I need to find a time. I am now, as a single mom, the spiritual growth person here. Even though my child spends the weekend in a horrible situation with my ex, just do what you need to do. Find the time. We do find the time to do other things. This is the most important thing you'll ever do. If God is the one who knows the plans he has for my child, why would I not want to continually push my child towards God? I don't know the plans for my child's future. God already knows the plans for my child's future. I want to introduce him to Christ, and I want to grow him in a relationship with Christ. I want to pray with him. So single moms, and here at Sharing House, last year we worked with 3,900 single moms, yeah, and just teaching them how to disciple and listen to some of their stories about how their kids have grown and how their kids have grown to minister back to the mom. It's just amazing. I think it's a morning is probably, she's not as exhausted in the morning. Make that an important time in the morning where they're going to read some, and then sit on the side of your child's bed at night when you're putting them to bed and pray with them. Mm-hmm. If you're a woman, or and likely that's generally the case, who's a believer and the husband is not, I do what you can do. I keep him in the loop. I wouldn't do it behind his back. And I would say, hey, I'd like to read the Bible at night with my kids, or breakfast with the kids, whichever you're the most comfortable for with our kids. And I would just do what you can do. So often we find the reasons we can't, and we park on those. I would if I could, but I can't. Yeah, you can. He will not give you an assignment that you can't do. He may give you an assignment that takes more to do it than you would expect. Mm-hmm. But even that is an honoring of God. Do it. Just do it. Now, let me say, reading the Bible at the breakfast table took 4 or 5 minutes max. Opening the Bible, reading the verses, and me asking God, because sometimes I'd have no idea what this passage means, none, zero, zip. And I'd have to say it sometimes. I'd have to say, you know what we just read, anybody have any thoughts or comments? And I'm looking down the table at Rosemary, a little help here would be nice right now. I have no idea what this is about. And sometimes she'd have an answer. Sometimes I said, you know, I don't know what this means, but I'm going to find out by dinner. And that would be the time where my feisty one, my awesome Tori, would find it out. She'd find out what that means so she could come to the table. And even if I had it, even if I figured out what it meant and she had an answer, that would be the answer. I'd be cheering. I can't believe you got it. I couldn't figure it out. And that would be the answer. I just want them to want to do this and plant it in their hearts.
And you know, a lot of parents listening, Bob, right now, they look at you or they look at me and say, well, you're a pastor and you have a doctorate. You guys know this stuff. But the reality is our kids learn more from our mistakes than they do from when we're right. And so when you're sitting around that table and you're trying to unpack a passage of scripture that you have no idea what it means, a conversation is two-sided. A child can have a part in a conversation. It's okay sometimes to not have all the answers. The more vulnerable and the more humility you show to your child, the more they're going to have as they grow up. You're modeling sometimes more than what you know. And so be okay with not having all the answers. Just engage in that conversation.
Absolutely. And listen to your kids, because he really uses your kids. When Roby was 4 and Tori was 7, and we finished, back in those days, we finished the devotion singing a song, and everybody got to choose, everybody had their day, Roby's day, and every day he picked Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Every day. And finally I said, Rob, you got to tell me what this means to you. And Roby says, this means that Jesus loves little people too, Daddy. And I thought, done, I got it, okay, I won't ask that question again. Make it part of your family DNA that there is a time when you pray together at bedtime, if then, and there's a time when you read the Bible and talk about it together. It will change the future of your children and their children.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries and Pastor Terry Scalziti, who is Associate Pastor at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you missed any part of today's program, you want to share it with some friends on social media, even download the app for whatever device you have. You can find all that in one place, parentingonpurpose.org. There's so many other topics that we've covered, age-appropriate topics too, so you can search for them there, parentingonpurpose.org. And to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, the Children's Homes, a lot of parenting resources, and the proceeds of those go to help the Children's Homes, go online to shfm.org. We hope you join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation on teaching your child to have an everyday faith on Parenting on Purpose.